Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth is Out There radio show. Today is Easter Sunday. I want to wish everybody a happy Easter. And for our Jewish friends, a happy Pesach or Passover. I want to introduce my co-host, Scarlett. How you doing, Scarlett?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, we have a very big show because it's one of the biggest things happening right now in our school systems around the country and here in Florida is the indoctrination, recruitment, and CRTs and everything else. And Governor DeSantis here in Florida got the parental rights law passed that's signed into law. And now we found, I believe, 41% of the books and math for kids K through 4, 5 grade, grade 5th, for grade, are actually indoctrination, recruitment, CRT, and Common Core, and they are kicking it out, and the left is screaming bloody murder. And with that in mind, we actually have a candidate running in Brevard County School Board in the name of Gene Trent. How you doing, Gene?
How you doing tonight, Joseph and Scarlett? Thank you for having me.
Right. Now, you saw what's breaking news the last, say, 24 to 48 hours about the schools and the books, especially in the math classes, about the indoctrination and everything, and being kicked out of the schools. What's your take on it as a candidate, and how being that you're running for school board, how are you going to fix that situation in Brevard County?
Well, that's a very good question, and if anything, it validates what we've been saying this whole time. I mean we as us conservatives and concerned parents, whenever we would bring up the indoctrination of our kids through curriculum, the first thing we would always hear back is, well, it's not being taught here in Florida, or it's not being taught here in Brevard. Well, again, this just validates that it is absolutely in our classroom. I mean, for 54 books to see that they are indoctrinating instead of educating. And that's math. And I'm a math teacher. So, I mean, there was a time where I said, well, I didn't see it much in the math class. Well, I obviously wasn't teaching K through 4 where all these books were at. But we have a lot of work to do.
I want to tell you, it's scary, though, because if it's in math, first of all, how are you going to do CRT in math? It's usually formulas or adding, subtraction, division, multiplying, things of that nature, and common sense, money, math and stuff. How are you going to get indoctrination in that? And how are they using that as a way to get it in there?
Yeah, that's another good question. I saw it was from a school. A parent had put it online, and it was the topic of probability. And it was the probability of white children going into poverty versus non-white children going into poverty. Now, who knows if these statistics were even right? It was really just to prove the agenda, because they asked questions, very leading questions, and then asked the students to summarize their results, which you would often do in a math class. And the result was that non-white students have a higher percentage of falling into poverty as white students. So again, you can if you have an agenda, you'll find a way to put that in there. And it's a shame that it's actually in math.
You know, that's not true. Anybody can fall into poverty, Gene.
Absolutely.
Okay? Everybody's circumstances are different. We're all individuals. And that is just goofy. Okay?
The other thing is, it's to push the agenda.
Right. And why would they introduce it with kindergarten kids or first grade? If they're able to, those first in kindergarten, you're just learning the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, basically, and then you might do 1 + 1, 2 + 2, and things of that nature. But would they learn?
Well, in the kindergarten level, these books, you know, they'll use pictures, and they'll use names, and this is how you would get them even before the reading. Is they'll show the groups, they'll show the white group of children, you know, getting the right answers, and maybe it's unfair for the non-white group. Anything to bring race in to divide is CRT's golden calf out there. That's what they want. They want division. So they'll start it as early as kindergarten.
One of the things I'm getting, because I've been, like, on Twitter and other areas, I've been getting a lot of feedback. It says, show me example of CRT. Can you show me example of the math classes? They always say it when you that it's not an answer. It's some kind of, they have an argument saying it's a law theory, came out of Harvard Law School or something, and not in elementary or middle schools or any schools in the country. It's something in like a university or professor thing, and it's not really there. That's your argument.
Have you seen that online programs like ABC Mouse? Have you seen those type of internet domains where they educate the children? Has that been infiltrated also?
You know, that's a really good question. I'd have to look. My youngest is 10, and we actually did, when we moved here to Florida 7 years ago, we had started her on an ABC Mouse. And you know what? I'm guilty. As of 7 years ago, parents were not looking for that type of indoctrination, even though it has been in many of the programs and in books. But we're awake now, so...
I have a son, so he was working out of that. Actually, they were utilizing that with class, because my son's in special needs, and they were utilizing it to help him to get ahead with his math and his reading.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I don't remember then that they were using that, but I'm just curious as they, because I see commercials now. And we should investigate that, because all areas, they infiltrate to hurt our children, to mess them up in the head.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, I want to get back to how you respond to people that say it's not in the schools, but yet it's out of the universities, and it has nothing to do with anything else except for college things. How do you respond to that when the left does that all the time?
Well, I mean, the quick answer, because I've been in the schools for nearly two decades now, is you're not going to see a school to actually write the words out CRT in a curriculum. And if they say things were being taught at a graduate level, well, where do we get our teachers? We get them from the woke universities taking those graduate courses. And it's woven within our school system on a daily basis. I mean, that's the easy answer back, and that's why you need to have your ear to the ground as a parent. As a conservative teacher, you need to hear what kids are talking about, and you get it to the assistant principal of curriculum. And honestly, we put our principals on notice that they need to be responsible for the conversation that's taking place in their classrooms a little bit more, maybe a little bit more than the few times they pop in for evaluations. I mean, if you want to get detailed, yes, it's Derrick Bell back in the 70s at Harvard Law, and it was really critical legal theory, but it didn't go far enough in as far as race. So that's why they started bringing it into the classroom. So, I mean, we can get technical too, but and now we see that it's in the books. So that argument is probably going to go to the wayside.
Yeah, well, that thing, you still use it because that's one of the debate issues that I've been getting around the internet from the ultra left, mm-hmm. and all that type.
You know how they do it? I mean, from what I remember, they have this big screen and they program it and it comes up with all different types of working stuff.
When you go into these meetings and when you're going to on the campaign trail for school boards, first of all, how's the reception when you talk to the people in the community? Is it better now since the people are getting woken up than what it was a few years back? Or is it about the same?
Yeah, if I had gone maybe even 4 years ago, if I had run and I had talked about critical race theory, I probably would have gotten not nearly the response. Probably pushback from people that just didn't believe it was in there. But one of the latest surveys out there was 78% of people polled they knew there was some kind of something happening with race relations talking in our schools. And when they did find out about it, they were against it, okay? And maybe it was the other way around. 78% didn't even know what was going on, but when they learned about critical race theory, that's better. They were against it. So it's getting the knowledge out there to these parents. But now they've heard it. It's been it's been really since the George Floyd incident that race has been talked about. The social justice in the schools. So many parents and now a lot of grandparents are very curious as to how this got in the schools and how can we stop it. So it has been very receptive at our meetings now.
Yeah, one of the things that the parental rights law that's going into effect that DeSantis signed into law, it keeps not only the CRT, but the indoctrination and recruitment of our little kids from kindergarten or even preschool, if you want to go that far, all the way to fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, on sexual orientation and teaching kids in kindergarten about sex and stuff like that. And that's got to be kicked out of schools. And they're trying to do that because they want to make everybody good little lesbians and gay men when nobody's done that.
Yeah, that one is it's K-3, and then it actually goes further than that. You might have alluded to it there. Anything after K-3, after third, it has to be age appropriate. So anything can be challenged. It isn't like they'll have a free rein after third grade. I really do wish it would have gone just K-12. I don't see a reason why we need to have classroom instruction. The left is going to confuse a lot of this talk and saying, well, we can't even have a discussion about anything. If something comes up, as long as it's not an instruction and we feel that it's not going to be, say, a detriment to this son or daughter or son or a young lady in the talking, we can talk about it in class. But, again, principals and assistant principals need to know and be aware of the conversations in the classroom.
Because the left like to, the Democrats, the communists, the socialists, whatever you want to do, the pedophilia, the sex, all the sex things, kindergarten, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was in kindergarten, all we did was play. Even first, second, and third grade, we really weren't too caring about sexual things. It's when
Not
we
at
got
all.
Into you know, like 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade we started, you know, when we have boyfriends and girlfriends and then. But people are curious about different things, and if you're hanging around with people that know how to manipulate and use peer pressure and other things, they can take someone's curiosity, a kid's curiosity, and transform it to something they're not. And there are a lot of people that go through that, especially people who have low self-esteem or have problems at home and things like that. And they are prime targets to be transformed into something they're not. And then they're going to have a very tough life in the end and probably end up in drugs and other things.
Very good.
And also,
that's a very good connection.
There's another problem with the gender identity issues. Individuals trying to change girls to boys and boys to girls.
You know, a kindergarten, yes. First grade, second grade, come on.
They're actually upset. Yeah, I mean, the left is really upset that we're telling them they can't talk about that now. I mean, why would you ever want to talk about that anyway? Teach them how to tie their shoes.
You know why? Because the pedophiles, sex offenders, and they're child abusers. And those teachers, by the way, I don't know if you know, but a number of teachers, as soon as DeSantis signed into law, a number of teachers walked out and quit their teaching. Because they can't teach sex for kindergartens. And they're good riddance. They're not teachers.
Well, I was going to say that's probably a really good day for Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as it was. But now let's get to the nitty-gritty besides the stuff here. As a school board member, when you win this for the school board, are you going to make sure there's no more promise program?
Is that on the discipline policy? Now, you refresh my memory, if you would.
Promise program was designed by Arne Duncan, Obama, Eric Calder, Robert Runcie down in Broward County, and others, where they took kids that commit felons and reduced the crime to misdemeanors to keep it in-house so they could reduce the crime rates in schools to stop what they call the train ride from school to prison. And this way, so they were doing that, and by doing that, we end up with Nicholas Cruz and a bunch of others around the country. Most of the mass shootings by kids in schools came from part of what they would call the Promise Program or some kind of form of the Promise Program. And there are people like Scott Israel that still likes to double and triple down on him. That's why he lost the sheriff's race.
Right. But, it had been a while since we have talked about that. A couple of years ago, that's kind of all we were talking about was the failure of the Promise Program. And absolutely, I've been saying that's one reason I've jumped into the race. I spent a little over a year at our Alternative Learning Center here in Brevard County, and that's where they were sending many of the students that have committed an expellable offense. So I got to see the inner workings of that, and many of those students really had no reason to go back into what you would call a standard school or a normal school setting. Our school district discipline policy needs an overhaul, and I will be an advocate of starting from the ground up. I'm surprised I'm from Chicago area, so when you said Arne Duncan, that rang a lot of bells on the whole Common Core. So we need to redo our discipline policy. We have a discipline issue across this country with our kids.
It was designed, all the stuff that we have, all the problems we have in schools, including CRTs and everything else, came out of Chicago, basically. It's that type of mentor going back into the 60s and that type of environment. If you want to go that far. But what we need is to improve our schools for handling children with mental health issues, special needs, disabilities, things of that nature. ESE programs. It helped out with our son here, but there are a lot of people that have problems down the line. And we had students in Broward County that one student attacked a teacher a couple times because they didn't know how to handle it. And then someone else, another student also got involved. And we need to find a way to teach teachers how to handle situations as they arrive when it comes to special needs.
You know, we used to have that. There were teachers that were hands-on and knew what to do because they were educated on how to help these special need students. And it seems to have went out the door.
You know, funding is that's what they're going to say, you know. But we do have instructional assistants. I've worked with quite a few, and some of my when I was in the classroom teaching math, I did have some very very hands-on and effective IAs. But I've seen classrooms that are just way too large, and it just gets out of hand. I've seen some IAs that absolutely. I have no idea where they got their schooling because they just were not effective at all, which is disturbing. But the mental health issues, we've done a really good job with talking through. We have a homeroom at Cocoa Beach Junior Senior High, and we've had these videos that we're actually pretty good. I've watched them. But the issue is, for example, we have just under 1,000 students, but we don't have a social worker. So we talk to these students about talking to someone. And then the school says, the district says we're too small to have a social worker on campus.
That's part of the Promise Program problem. That's yeah. One of the things that happened with the Promise Program is that they cut out resources, such as outside resources like social workers or people who have mental health situations to come in, psychiatrists,
or
psychologists,
certified special needs individuals who know how to structure this. And how to funnel it down to the different areas. And there used to be them. I experienced them. They were very hands-on, and they educated Joseph and myself a lot. So we're very knowledgeable about it. So
yeah.
It needs to return.
Yeah, well,
when
we grew up, we actually grew up in the public school system in New York City. Scarlett did it in Brooklyn, I did it in Queens. And we actually had there were so many different things you could do and so many different things. And this was during the Vietnam era time and all the other stuff going on. And the deal is that there were more hands-on, the teachers and the guidance counselors and the community, because you had to do community jobs and everything else as you grow. Than it is now in this country, in this state of mind, not just here in Florida, but around the country. And
yes.
We need to get back to the community and
yes,
get back to
it was structured and organized and tailored. It was a great sound program.
Now, as the school board, once you become when you win your race for school board, what are your ideas that you want to raise and propose to improve the Brevard County schools and the kids in the schools, the students, the teachers?
Right. Again, I mean, there is so much that you could say I just want to come in and to attack. I mean, like I said before, our discipline policy has got to be in the forefront. I mean, the kids want structure. They want discipline. I had the pleasure of being in four different schools in Brevard since I arrived here, and it's across the board. I've been to one of the top IB schools, I've been to the largest high school, I've been to the ALC, and a middle junior senior high school, or a junior high school, and we need structure. From cell phone policy to maybe in-school suspensions and taking that time and helping those kids maybe cope with some of the decisions that they're making. That's big on my list. Also is, let's say, trades work. You know, yes, an education at a four-year university is wonderful if you're ever going to use it. But we need to look at our children early on and say there might be an alternative. You know, we've got wonderful trades programs and people that have great professions and good families by being electricians and plumbers and certification programs that they can get in right out of high school and make a great living. So I'm big on the trades, maybe apprenticeship programs. We got to reach out to our community. They're there and they're willing to help. We just got to come out and ask. So that's and on top of that, the budget now is a big issue. I'm surprised you haven't brought that up yet. Now is, you know, our board's asking for a millage increase in the midst of, you know, 40-year high inflation, record high values in our homes. You know, we have a ton of money from COVID. You know what? They're not necessarily saying that for a pay raise, the teacher shortage in services.
Well,
we do have definitely a teacher shortage in the state of Florida, but in Brevard specifically.
Can I ask you a question? You're superintendent. What's her play in all this?
So Dr. Mullins, and I'm going to be completely honest here. I've probably have said hi to the gentleman once since I've been in Brevard County. You know, he works for the school board. I just want to keep reiterating that. Once I get in there and the new school board, you know, my superintendent will be judged on what we tell them to do and if they follow along with it or not. So I don't know if the board's been telling them to not do much or that he has neglected his duties. So that's kind of information that I wouldn't have. But is he outspoken with the ideas and philosophies that I have? No, but I just don't know if that's how he operates. So that's something that's going to be very interesting, and I'll be very vocal as to the superintendent's role when I'm on the board.
Absolutely. Yes. We had one here who's gone.
Yeah, Runcie.
No.
But the thing is, they school superintendents tend to focus more towards political than actually making mm-hmm. sure the schools are the best there actually are.
Yes.
And that's what happened down here in Runcie in Broward County. And I got a feeling it's happening in Brevard County too. They're more political orientated and not something that's really what they're charged for, which makes their district or the school district the best there is for the kids in the community.
Right. And I just heard in Volusia, was it Volusia County? They voted 3-2 and released their superintendent in one night.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was this past week or so, yeah.
And
do you happen to know how many districts there are for Brevard County?
Yeah, we have five districts. So there's five seats on the board. And we have three up for
election. Do you happen to know
election.
If there are conservatives running in all the districts to try to clean up the mess?
Yes, very good question. Yeah, we have we've made sure that's the case. So it's one District 1, District 2, and District 5 running. District 5, Katie Campbell, is a conservative, and she's running for reelection. She's the incumbent. District 1, we have a great conservative female up there, Megan Wright, but she's going up against Misty Belford, who is our board chair. She's the one that personally stood up against DeSantis and her vote went against the mask mandate. So she hasn't made many friends up in District 1, so we're really hoping that Megan pulls it out. And then I'm in District 2, which was controlled by a liberal school board member who's no longer running, but they put one right in her place to run again. So we need to win these three races in Brevard.
Yes.
And that's
so what
we're going to do.
Get rid
of
the superintendent and put someone in who's hands-on, who cares about the babies.
Exactly.
Okay, that led to the next question. What about the mandates? As you got the one lady that said that was still want to do mandates for little kids and go against DeSantis?
Yes, she did. Well, that was the final straw to broke my, you know, camel's back of getting in the school board race was the mandates. And then a school board member actually thinking that it was their right to put their thought process and their agenda out in front of the governors or even their the people of their district. Because the people of their district were against the mandates, but they chose to put their agenda over their constituents. I've always been against mandates, and I just think the governor's doing a wonderful job. So I would love to have the opportunity to, you know, uphold the new laws that he's put in and the mandates. Now he just came out and said, you know, our schools will not be shut down, we will not be locked down, and our kids will not be wearing masks. So.
And that's
how I feel about
that.
Or forced to get a shot. Okay?
Right. Exactly.
The masks don't work anyway, and it never did. And kids, and especially little kids from kindergarten all the way up, they need to see the teachers and the students need to see the mouths talking so they can learn how to pronounce words and sentences. And do things right, and also psychological as well as physical teaching.
Exactly. No, it absolutely. You need to see the mouth moves. You need that for socialization. I mean, just to be a natural human being. You know, people watch people's expressions, and some of these young kids, they've spent, you know, 2 years of their lives, which is, you know, a third of their lives, being muzzled in public. It's very frustrating.
It hurt them physically because you're bringing in the poisons, number one. And two, it's hurt them psychologically because they've now been controlled. But then I think this is more of a control mechanism by the left because that's what socialism, communism, and the Democrats believe in, government control, not freedom.
Absolutely. I totally get it. And if you get them to do this, the next time you have them do something, it's just that much easier.
Yeah, it's like the ringing the bell or the cheese experiment that we did little kids years ago.
Yeah.
We keep ringing
the
bell.
If there are bad teachers in your district, what are your abilities to make sure that they cannot be teaching any longer if you are elected to run your district in school board?
Well, I mean, that starts at the administrative level at the schools. That's why I said we really need to call these administrators in, and they are held responsible for the actions of their teachers. So there's a process, but it's a quick process if you know what's going on. Their evaluations should be reflecting any troubles that these teachers are having in their classrooms. And there's remediation, and, you know, I mean, if it's egregious, there's an immediate action. But I do believe there are administrators out there that are willing, you know, to step up and remove teachers. But the issue is, again, we do have a shortage, but you know, the kids' well-being is much more important than that.
Would you rather have there are tons of parents out there that would step up who are conservatives, who care about the children, to get trained and be substitutes. Better than a crappy teacher, in a classroom.
Yep.
At least that's my opinion.
No, that's very good. So that's some of the parental involvement that I do think we need to get back to pre-COVID. You know, pre-COVID, you could go in and it was so much easier to substitute. It was also easier to go visit your kid's classroom and lunchroom. So I'm hoping we make it easier to do this. I do think, and I fear some of the schools and school districts actually liked the COVID restrictions on visitors. You know, I've overheard
teachers. Yeah, because they can have control.
Yes. Yeah, you keep them out, then they can do what they want to do.
We're leading into the next question, which is, have you seen the parental involvement grow in the last, say, 6 weeks, 6 months, especially as the parents started to see, because of when you had the COVID, you had to train with the kids just learning at home. They act because that they have the Zoom and all that other stuff. The parents, for the first time in many cases, actually saw what's being taught in the schools, and they didn't like it, and they didn't stand up, and that's how the Republicans took over Virginia for that reason. And the
Absolutely.
Other states and all the school boards around the country, all the Democratic-sponsored school boards are losing, including they kicked out the three most liberal in San Francisco not that long ago, their school board. So, look, and Houston is another area. So the point I'm saying is the parents are stepping up because they saw for the first time exactly what's going on, and they didn't like it. Now, have you seen an influx of big support of parents getting involved with the kid, with their children in the schools over the last several months?
I've seen it probably even starting last school year with the whole masking issue. Is you know it's one thing you don't do. You can do a lot to a parent, to an individual, but you mess with your kids, and a whole different person evolves, and that's what's happened. I would never have dreamed I would have the support that I have just running for a school board. I mean, that's not a very exciting position in years past. But if you were down here just to see people going during the day, door knocking and exposing, you know, what's going on in the schools, it's really moving, you know, how many people that are joining the movement of getting the right school board member elected. Also, at our schools, I'm seeing, you know, again, way more than even pre-COVID of parents parents putting functions together, at least in our little hometown here in Cocoa Beach. It's exciting. I do like that. Some teachers are resisting it, though. I'm not going to lie. I've had conversations where teachers were like, oh, I can't believe all these parents are calling me wanting to know what's going on in my classroom. And, you know, I got to bite my tongue sometimes because, you know, I don't really want to get into political issues at school. But I just say, hey, but it's their parent, it's their kid. You know, it's their students. And I like the conversation with parents when I was in the classroom.
Yeah. What
so
do they
I
have
do
to
see
hide?
Yeah, I thought the parents and I thought the teachers were actually going to be more excited when they're knowing that the parents are getting involved with their children's education. One of the downfalls over the years was the fact that the parents didn't know what was going on with the kids, and that lack of communication hurt the children. Now it's the opposite, and parents are actually
right.
stepping up. The thing is,
right.
you know why the teachers are against it? Because they're getting caught teaching them these left-wing kind of socialist methods, indoctrination, recruitment, and the parent. I don't think there's any parent out there that's normal that want their kid to be indoctrinated into hating themselves or hating other people or becoming something that sexually they're not born with. These things are key issues, and the parents want the kids to learn reading, writing, arithmetic, and things like that.
Yep.
And not being taught to be gay or taught to be hateful of their own skin color or this country. And that's...
I got a question. Are teachers threatening these students that if they go home and tell mommy and daddy that they'll do something to them?
You know, I have no evidence of that. You know, I just know that we had seen stuff, not at my school, but through... COVID times where that had happened even across Zoom, where they even asked for the students to not be in the same room as their parents during discussions, and
that's illegal.
There's a lot of absolutely. So you know, unfortunately, agendas are everywhere. But I go back to what Joe just said about the, you know, most parents, I mean, I say we're moms and dads before we're Republicans or Democrats. And in elections in the past, we would just go door knocking on hard Republicans and get them out. And it's a battle now because, I mean, I'm knocking on every door or I'm putting my door hanger on Democrats, NPAs, Republicans, because when people understand what's going on in the schools, they don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. They want reading, writing, and arithmetic. And that's the majority of people, you know, not the AOC Democrats, but the old school Democrats. They're not really Democrats. That party left them. decades ago. But
Truman,
we want the
Democrat.
Same thing.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Where they were about the family and the concerns of the community and about what's going on in their children's lives and how everything affects their lives.
Yeah, you just said it. That's exactly right. You know.
You know,
so I have many supporters
do you support the 1776 project?
Yeah, I do actually. I'm actually in the process and trying to get their endorsement. You're talking about the group out of Hillsdale.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
And the Hillsdale University and all that type of stuff. The
mm-hmm.
Constitution,
mm-hmm.
they focus on that. And I'm a member of that, so you're going to get that endorsement. So I'll let you know about that. Yeah,
yeah, so I had a talk with them maybe a month or so ago, and Megan and I both, they want to do a Zoom call with the two of us together sometime the first week of May. But I'm extremely excited to further that conversation.
Do it, because they have that's the 1776 project where Trump, that's a Trump support right there. And that's a big thing. We're trying to get everyone that has, that brings back education, not by ideology or trying to get different people to be something they're not. We want kids to learn how to be on their own with a foundation that they can survive and not be bullied or intimidated by the far left and be something they're not, and learn how to read and write scripting. One of the things we have down here in Broward County is that these kids from high school, they don't know how to sign a contract. They don't script it. They can print, but they don't know how to write script, and that's a problem.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Well, you know what they say, there's a big reason why they don't want to teach that is because many of our founding documents are written in script, and if they can't read them, then they can be changed.
And that's a problem. And they need to – another thing we used to do when we were kids is learn the Constitution and the Federalist Papers and the Declaration of Independence and learn that –
and what's written on the Statue of Liberty, and all of history. It's wonderful.
And we're a Judeo-Christian nation, everything. If you go into Hillsdale or you go into to the courses and stuff like that, you learn that the founding documents are all based on the Bible and all that type of stuff.
Right.
What the left is afraid.
You know, they were learning the three branches of government, what each person does, and how a bill is developed.
Yeah, I mean, even in the crazy state of Illinois, I remember having to cram and study to graduate eighth grade to move into high school. I had to get a certain grade on the Illinois Constitution, the U.S. Constitution. We had really good discussions on it. So, you know, going into ninth grade, that was a wonderful education. I mean, DeSantis is getting back to though with the civics requirement for graduation. He's wanting to put into place.
Yeah, he just signed into law something like that. Where he wants people to understand our basics. Like, if you put it this way, if you the same type of course you get to become a U.S. citizen, every American should know the same thing.
We're exactly right. I mean, there's if it's that important for to become a U.S. citizen, I mean, we should have our young people have the same training. So I totally agree. Along with some financial algebra and consumer math, I'm a big math guy. So we need to teach kids how to handle a checkbook and not overspend on credit cards. You know.
Yes. Well, that's the curse of everybody going back to the beginning of time about the credit cards. That is true.
Yeah.
Get in touch with some of the families and have them do something in their home and invite you over that you could speak with them. So that would be such a good way for these parents to get informed about you.
Yeah, I that's a great idea. We're calling those meet and greets. So we have we do have some scheduled, and that's the idea. So You got to get right in front of the voters. You know, I've not been a big money raiser because I'm too busy just knocking on doors talking to people. So
it's not about money. It's about the word. It's about
exactly.
waking parents up.
Now, you know, people
and letting
are,
them know that
it.
Their children are being hurt.
By knocking yeah. on doors and running around and meeting people, what is the best way to go? We actually had something down here in Broward County. For the first time in history, we have a candidate who's running for Congress in CD23 against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who actually got on the ballot just by knocking on doors and getting the signatures. It never happened before. It happened this time around with Reuben Young. So it's okay, and he's going to win because he's knocking on doors, getting the signatures, and everybody knows who he is. And that's how you
that's
win. And that's a grassroots thing. And I think you're going to do the same.
That's right.
Well, thank you. That's the idea. That's the plan. You know, you get a nice group, a core group of I call them the mama bears. Actually, they call themselves that. They're pretty upset mm-hmm. and angry at the school board and the school system. So that's what we're doing every single day. We're out there. We're hitting on average right now about 700 homes a week. And I know we need to do more, but we're getting out there.
Build the
and
ground
the
game,
thing.
Get the enters out there.
We're getting close towards the end of the show, so can you tell our listeners how to be part of this grassroots movement, how to get our kids back into learning, not indoctrinating, and where to reach you and your website?
Well, absolutely. Again, if you're not in Brevard, you know, get to your local school board member that you know shares your values and get in their ear. They will be willing to work with you. But also, if you are in Brevard, you know somebody in Brevard, it's TrentForSchoolBoard.com. TrentForSchoolBoard.com. You can go on there, learn a little bit more about me. And I have 5 kids. I've been in the classroom for 20 years. And I've dedicated the last 30 years of my life towards service of children and school children. So you can send me a message. You can donate to the campaign. You can just shoot me some words of advice or, again, ask any questions you'd like.
Okay. Can you tell our listeners a final statement so they could get really excited for you and why you're going to be the best there is?
All right. Well, I do believe experience matters. You know, I offer a lifetime of school and community involvement, you know, which is unmatched by any of the other candidates. When you come to me with a question or a concern, you know, I not only have a couple decades of experience being in the classroom, but I have 5 children of my own. And when I'm elected, all 73,000 students in Brevard, I will be making those decisions as if they were my own children. So you have my promise on that.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming on the show. We support you. We're endorsing you for school board number 2 for Brevard County. And everyone get out there and support Gene Trent.
Do you have a primary or are you just running against anybody?
Yeah, actually there's 4 in the race. There's 4 in the race and the primary. Yeah, there's 4 total. There's 1 for sure liberal and 2 others that I would say I'm the much more conservative candidate and experienced than them. So that's in August, August 23rd.
Before the primary, when is the primary?
August 23rd.
So maybe you can come back in like the middle or late July. We'd love to have you back and get an update of what's going on, please.
I would love to. I would appreciate it. You know, they vote 4 weeks before that, so around June 23rd is when they'll start putting in those absentee ballots. So
come in the beginning of June or late
May.
Yeah,
that would be great. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming on.
I would like to thank you so much for coming on. You got the truth is out there, endorsement.
No, we care about. We want our country back, and we want it to go forward with intelligence here, not.
Yeah, we're actually doing a series of school board candidates running across the country, and so we're getting in there and we're in the trenches because you got to start with the kids because we got to redo.
For the next generation coming.
Yes.
We have to
redo
and we have to make sure that
get
they
rid
are
of the damage
instilled and taught correctly.
Absolutely, I do believe. If I had the choice of being a school board member right now or being Congress, I would take being a school board member because I do believe we can make a bigger
locally,
impact.
Absolutely. And thank
right
you
now,
so much
I think
for
that's
doing
true.
This.
I do. Okay. No, thanks a lot, Joseph and Carla.
Thank
you very much.
Have a great night. Happy Easter or happy Passover to you and your family.
You too. Have a great one. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now, what's great about that is that we're going to do a series of stuff. In fact, on the next one, actually, we have somebody on the 24th, and Hunter Peel is coming out on the 24th. We have the 20th.
The 27th.
The 27th Hunter Peel is the 27th. Sorry about that. We have on the 20th, we have, which is Wednesday, we got Caroline Avery, who's running for Congress in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Now, we got a couple others coming down along around the country about school boards and stuff they're working on. And we're doing a series on that, and we're going to continue to do so because right now our kids are being attacked, indoctrinated, recruited, and Governor
That's
DeSantis.
Right. We're not going to let them be screwed from their crap. We're going to get in their face. And we're going to enlighten people and let them know what's going on. And that if they didn't know, they will know.
And Gene Trent has been endorsed fully for for Brevard County, District 2 school board.
We need to find all the others in that district and have them come in and hear their story.
Because we got left wing dingbats that want to take your kids and control them.
Right, and that superintendent, you know, gotta go. Take the school boards. Then we gotta get rid of the bad superintendents. All of them. They need to go. Bye bye.
Yeah, anyway, we got a few more minutes. I just want to wish all our listeners a happy Pesach Passover. Just say it's day three.
Happy Easter. I hope you enjoyed your family and
your
good food.
Tomorrow is the Boston Marathon.
Yes.
And we have somebody very special running in the Boston Marathon. Actually, I know a few. But the one person, we call her the Queen. I want everyone to go out and root for Queen Emily, who's running in the Boston Marathon. She's actually qualified for the Boston Marathon, not only for this year, twice, because she does it twice, in the spring and in the fall, but also in 2023. So she's already there. Last time, at least she did it last year, and she did it about 3.5 hours, a little over 3 hours, to do the whole 26 miles.
In Boston tomorrow?
I don't know, actually. But she can handle all weather. She's very good.
She'll
run in anything.
She will run.
She loves to run.
And she will pass the finish line. And she will complete the mission.
Yeah, this girl will do whatever
she's
it takes
driven.
She's driven.
She's driven.
And that's,
she's healthy.
She loves that. And again, go back to teaching. She loves teaching.
That's right.
And
she will go the distance.
And she's not someone
sure
that's
she's not into
this
political race crap
she's not.
To the babies.
No,
okay?
she's not into that. She wants the kids to be like her. And to be energized and motivated.
You know, I did not know there was a shortage in the of teachers.
Yeah, I did, actually.
How did that happen?
Because you're making $35,000, $40,000 to teach, and the kids.
You know, there are a lot of people not
making
that, Joseph.
And that's small. And the kids, a lot of these kids are troublemakers between the drugs, the gangs, and the left-wing dingbats.
What,
the parents not
5 years old?
It makes things, at any age, it makes things difficult for these teachers. So they're
you
not,
know what?
So
until
they're,
we get
I don't,
a handle
look,
on things, there should be a security guard in every classroom or walk
in
the hallway.
All that stuff. We're working on all that. But the thing is, these teachers not only got to be teaching, but they also got to be parents in some cases. One of the best things, and we didn't really get go over it, with Trent is that is Gene is the fact that we actually with thanks to COVID and the Zoom and all that other stuff, the parents finally got to understand see what's going on, and they became aware.
Well, they made
aware.
A mistake.
Actually,
see,
yeah,
the plan with the COVID, yes. So basically, they did us a favor.
Right. The thing is, they now the parents got involved, and now you're going to start seeing the education of individual children go up, and the less
yes.
gangs, drugs, and stuff will go down. And the
those,
parents,
those
even with
the
threat of arrest by DOJ
see,
and others in the
right.
left, still got,
those people in gangs will see that education is a better thing than doing the other stuff.
Yeah. Right now,
they'll
by the way,
a new
over,
way
yeah.
and a better direction and better.
You
want
to know what? Before we let go, because we've run down to like less than 5 minutes, the situation that happened in the mall in Columbia, South Carolina yesterday, where the number of people got shot, the 3 people were arrested. The judge today let one of the judge go on $25,000 bond, and with a minor on it. And that what that means is that this guy who attempted to kill a lot of people is walking the street because of a left-wing dingbag judge. This has got to stop.
Blame
these
Obama.
Left-wing judges has got to go away.
Well,
and these, and well, now
open
up again.
You've got to get
that
these
guy,
governors to handle what's going on. It's a big
yeah,
cleanup, that, you know, one
that,
day at a time.
Yeah, if that guy goes out and does something more, because that judge let him out on a $25,000 bail, I'm going to tell you something. That judge should be arrested for the exact same crime as this guy did.
Well, they
that
don't have
not,
that law. I don't know what laws they have in there, but we know what the law they have here.
Yeah.
In Florida.
And so that's another. If you commit a crime, you do the time, and that's it.
When we
and
take the House back and the Senate and Trump is back, that's a bill that should come in play through the houses that saying if a judge lets, it don't matter whatever it is, locally, regionally, nationally, they should be held accountable.
Anyway, we're down to 3 minutes left. I want to thank Gene Tran for coming on the show. I'd like to thank Scarlett for coming on and helping out.
Yeah.
Great show.
Great show.
That's all our listeners, I want to thank everybody for having such a great time today on this show, and I want everybody to go out there and get involved with the school boards. Get involved with the parents. You don't even have
find
to have a,
out. Find
out
how they're treating
school.
Your kids.
Stand up.
Because if you don't care, you're letting your children slip into a coma mentally and physically if you don't step up and take care of it.
Okay, now, like I said,
and this is Scarlett Butler leaving you on those words and a happy Easter and a happy Passover. And I'll be back on Wednesday. And everybody have a great night. Bye.
Bye-bye now. And before I let you know, parents, and not even parents, individuals, stand up to go to the school board meetings. Go, because it affects you too. Even though you might not be a parent, what happens in schools is the future of our country. Stand up and be counted and let these kids learn reading, writing, arithmetic, not how to pay somebody or become something they're not. Let's end CRT indoctrination in all our schools in this country, and let's bring back normalcy into the country and have these kids to be intelligent instead of being stupid and gay and dumb and start, and let's do things right. God bless you all. Have a great day.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I'm glad. from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea.